That was, I thought, a fun question. Yes, it did go through. I did get the cash out refi and put that money, 25 grand to use, just on a non-buy and hold investment strategy to create cash flow. And the point is, $200 in cash flow, that's a pretty good feeling. And it's just a way that people might want to start focusing on. It's not on the accumulation strategy, but what are ways that you can invest that have mechanisms in it that could create a lot higher probability of success?
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, your host for the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have my awesome co-host, Tammy Brennan.
Hello, everyone.
So today's going to be a fun one. I think I've been alluding to alternative or talking about what I do outside Wall Street, the bankosaurus, but none of it makes sense until you live within your means, save, and then once you save and create this big emergency slash opportunity fund. And of course, you know, the bankosaurus is my favorite way to play the game, Tammy.
I do know that.
Just for as a saving strategy, I cannot think of anything more powerful. And now I figured maybe we'd talk about alternative investments today. What do you think?
That sounds good. I like it.
And alternative investments, I don't know if I like the word alternative investments. I should just call it investments. I mean, but that just shows the brainwashing with Wall Street. And let me emphasize over and over again, I really do enjoy Wall Street. I just don't like it as a buy and hold strategy. And that's my opinion. And so anyway, I'll have more to it. But in regards to, so I'm just going to talk about investments off Wall Street and not too much on it. I want to focus because, Tammy, something really stuck in my head that you brought up a few weeks ago. And I think it's because when I was talking about the RAF phenomena, why is it that we hesitate? Things that create joy, but the things that are painful, we just get it done because there's just huge consequences. Like, it seems like the pain always outweighs the joy.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I'd focus on, I was asked by a podcast listener last week, super nice, sharp engineer who happens to be here locally here in Reno, Nevada. He says, I hope I don't get it wrong, but I think he says, did you ever get that cash out refinance done? Did I ever wrap that up? I don't remember I did.
I don't think you did. I think you were just talking about the process leading into it.
So the answer to that question, and I have some more that have come in, but I don't think I'll address it on this podcast, but I'm getting some good questions that are coming in.
Awesome.
I mean, literally every day I wake up and I realize I know nothing, and but I always have fun stuff to share. And it's just amazing how many talented people are out there in different fields. And one other question. So what distinguishes me from other advisors?
Ooh.
And I hate using myself, whatever, what is it, referring to yourself, but there's only one me. That's what distinguishes me from all the other. Is that a fair answer?
No. I suggest that that's a podcast all in and of itself, how you differ from other financial advisors. I think that would be a fun one to do.
You're the founder of the Blueprint Process, right, Tammy?
That's true.
Yeah, so I should have you tell everyone why I'm so great one of these days.
I would be honored.
You can talk about all my unique qualities.
I would love it. So we're going to need more than 20 minutes.
That's fine. We'll have one special. I guess this shows how self-absorbed I can be. We'll have one podcast that's like an hour long, all about me.
I love it.
So today I will answer that first question, which was, did that ever go through? Yes. And I don't know the correct word. I'm just going to call it a come to Jesus meeting. I literally, the owner of the loan broker called me, which I thought was very smart of him, and said, hey, what can I do to get this right? Because there was some miscommunication on it's anyway, the whole loan process. Let's just put it this way. Once he got on the phone and he's at a higher level, he understood what I was trying to explain in regards when they look at returns, tax returns, et cetera. And it was solved within an hour.
Wow.
Once you get the right people in play. And I'm a huge believer that I think that if we all have the same set of facts, the majority of us will come to the same conclusion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm going to have to chew on that one for a little bit, but I like it.
Quite often, I mean, for example, I'll use another person as an example. What this happens typically is I explain why I design and do whole life the way I do it, and how when I saw and read this and studied it forever before I pull the trigger on myself, before I introduce it to anyone else, that is this just too good to be true? And so quite often with clients today that try to share what I'm doing for them and what they've created. They're doing the work, but what they've created for their family, they'll go out and say, what are you doing? Say, oh yeah, well, my financial advisors, we've created this this Bankosaurus. Is it whole life insurance? Oh, why would you buy whole life insurance? And so it's kind of fun. It's like, good luck trying to explain until they sit down and really understand the mechanics behind it. You're going to ask them for their advice, oh, should I buy a whole life insurance policy? And quite often, they're going to tell you no based upon the facts that they know. Like, I mean, I can tell you when I first got in the industry in 08, at the end of 08 and in 09, there, you know, everyone, all the people trained me when I had my securities license, 6 and 63, saying that, you know, so I could sell people mutual funds, et cetera, at the time. They're, oh yeah, you should always just buy term and invest the rest, buy term and invest the rest. And so when you have all these financial advisors, AKA financial salespeople out there, educating the world, how many people probably, if you go say, hey, Tammy, should I buy a whole life policy or term policy? The typical, they're going to probably tell you what the industry has been teaching you, buy term and invest the rest.
Right.
But then once you sit people down and show them all the facts, the whole truth, everything that you know, all the components behind it, I'm a huge believer that people will, once they understand all the facts, if they're logical, are going to come to a similar solution. Does that make more sense?
Yeah, it does. I was processing is timing, back to the RAF phenomenon. Timing of that understanding versus taking action, which is not really what you're saying. You're just saying that they're going to come to the same conclusion.
Yes. I mean, maybe they won't move on it, but they'll all come to the conclusion. Oh yeah, Bankosaurus makes sense. I'll get back to you in a year.
Right.
I got to pay my tax bills. Where others like, wow, this really makes a lot of sense. I wish I knew this sooner, but I'm so grateful I know it now. Let's get this done. Let's get it moving.
Yep.
So, but what I meant was just the whole same, if we all have the same set of facts. Does that make sense?
Yep, it sure does.
So now how I got on those tangents, so much for me, I've really been focusing on trying to be a little bit more concise and succinct on these podcasts. And so I'm really grateful to all the listeners as they endure as I grow. And Tammy, you're so good. That was another thing. I want to put that out there. As someone wrote in, Tammy is so great as a co-host. You need to tell her how awesome she is. And I was like, I do every introduction.
It's true. You do.
And you are awesome. Thank you, Tammy.
Oh, sure. It's fun.
So it was, regards to, the investment. So yes, the cash out refi occurred, got the money. What an act of Congress. And I still come to the same conclusion on that one. I will never do it again. Of course, watch. I'll have a podcast 5 years from now. Like, yeah, I did it again. and still do not like the process. So yes, thank you, mortgage company. A lot of equity has occurred, growth in the properties here in the Reno area, Northern Nevada. And I'm sure that's been an experience for everyone, for most communities throughout the country, and especially out here in Nevada, California, Arizona area. I mean, I just see it all day long. And so all that money, I was able to just took a piece of it. And let me tell you the fun part. And so I was being asked what I'm going to do with that. I think you brought that up, Tammy, is like, why the cash out refi?
Right.
I was like, well, because I want to put that money to use. I mean, we're paying our mortgage. We're going to, that house is serving its purpose. It's a home that, you know, takes care of us. So it's great, but let's put that money to use right now and make more money. And so it's just kind of fun. And I just want to talk about the feeling. And then maybe in the next podcast, me start talking about all the different things that exist outside Wall Street. And there's kind of a brainwashing illusion that you have to have your IRA in Wall Street, and that's not the case. You can use your IRA for many things. And so the next one, we'll really break down, I'll be succinct, of all the different things you can do and all the kind of different investment. General, I have to be real general on it, but I just to educate people to really start researching. And then you get confused, or if you want more detail, it's pretty easy. Just I love helping. Just pick up the phone and call me, right? Or shoot me an email.
And if I may, that's one of the differences between you and other financial advisors, because you pointed out just a minute ago, they're really financial salespeople. And you're more the advisor or consultant.
I love troubleshooting. I love solving. And at the end of the day, my clients own the answer because I want them educated. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what I think. It's what they think, what feels right.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I'm not a salesman. I'm a horrible salesperson. I probably can talk people to death, but I really want to educate. And yes, I think as far as with the majority of the industry, it is a big distinguisher, is that I truly want clients, neighbors, everyone who listens to this podcast to be, last week, guest speaker at the university. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's right. How did that go?
Oh, it was great. I always love the responses because it's I love one-on-one. I love the interaction with people. And so it's not necessarily the most natural environment for me when I'm out there guest speaking. There's probably about 120, 130 engineering students, civil engineering predominantly, some environmental engineering students. It's an engineering economic course here at the university in Reno, Nevada. But obviously all sharp kids. And it was fun because you never know, some people I think are just there to get some sleep. And you've got some students that are really just trying to be courteous and pretend to be interested. And then you've got the ones that, like, because they're not graduating typically for 2 to 3 years. And it's just, I just want everyone to understand the truths as I've learned. And start off with, guys, I did it all wrong. So just learn from all my mistakes. And let me show you a few things to do right. And you'll be so far ahead of the curve. And it's that education, that empowerment. And it's like, if you just take these three components, and I said, yeah, listen to the Engineer Finance podcast, you put those to use for you. And it starts with just living within your means. Save at least 10%. It will distinguish you from the majority of the American households in this country. Right? And so I just love educating. And I found you put it out there and you help people. Whether a client or not, it comes back to you tenfold. And so it really is a selfless thing. I guess with the afterthought, I guess it's a little bit selfish, Tammy. But the really is, you provide for people, you take care of people, you educate. You can make a huge difference for families and individuals and businesses.
That makes another difference for you is that, from other advisors, is that that's really your goal, is to make a difference for people instead of having the selfish, self-centered goal of making more money or greater achievement, greater numbers, greater success. Your vision of success actually is to make an impact on families and to share your knowledge.
Yes. Yeah, it's what drives me every day. And, obviously, everything I do, everything is structured. I mean, I get paid to run my business the way I do it. But you just treat everyone like you want to be treated. And trust me, as my wife can attest, I am quite the perfectionist. And so I want, when I go out to eat and I go do things, I want to be treated really well. And so if you put that forward to everyone that you work with, you want the best for them, it makes a huge difference. And boy, I'm Captain Succinct today, aren't I?
I'm going to say, I don't think it really has anything to do with succinctness because you do a really good job of explaining things without rambling on. And I'm sure your audience can agree with me. But the thing that is unique about you that I think makes it for a more engaging show is you go down different side roads. And so it's not this linear progression that to me would be kind of boring. You do these little side roads that makes the journey interesting.
Thank you. Well, here's the side road coming back to the whole point of investments off Wall Street is and tying to that one question and how I turned that into a 10-minute answer or whatever is beyond me, but that's my specialty.
One of many.
One of many. Thank you. Is that, I did. The cash out refi, we got it done. Wow. What a process. What a marathon. But yes, we did get it done. And I immediately took a piece of that and put it to use in investments, not doing the buy and hold strategy on Wall Street. And what's kind of fun, and I'll use some real numbers on this, but people can do the math in their head. But I want to focus on the point. This is just an example. And it's a real life example. But you take a piece, you take 25 grand, and that 25 grand turns and creates 200 bucks for you in cash flow, because cash flow is so much fun. Accumulation has its place, but what fun is it when you're 25 years old or 30 years old, 35 years old, 45, 55? And I mean, just watching money grow that you can't touch. And 401ks and IRAs have their place, but it's like, yeah, it'll be there. I'm glad I'm being a responsible person, but holy cow, wouldn't it be nice to dip into that money today? And that feeling, it's a way different feeling. So what I was telling my wife is, like, hey, we'll take that 25 grand. Let's go. We'll invest it. And then we'll enjoy the cash flow. And so I was showing, hey, here's $200 in cash flow for putting this money into an investment. And now that $200 can go buy, I don't know what $200 will do for the house remodel. But I said, you know what, can I just, for the first month, can I use that $200? I was told I'm supposed to get new tennis rackets and for tennis, because I used to compete a lot. And apparently mine are tired. I'm like, hey, this just bought me one tennis racket. And we still have the 25 grand. And so the cash flow is just such a fun, quite often it's like, oh, don't tell me how it feels. But I really do want to tell people how it feels. And I'll get into details in the next part. And which also came to a fun book I want to put out there. So I'm going to let everyone know listening out, a fun book is coming by me, written by me. And when that gets released, I don't know, but everyone on this podcast, I assure you, I will find some way to promote myself.
It is your podcast.
It is my podcast. Yeah, but the feeling, it's just super fun. It's like, hey, the 25 grand's still there and I got my $200 and I can put that into an asset. So this is a fun story. A few years ago, I destroyed my wife's, a kettle pot. I destroyed my wife's by accident. And it was a really nice kettle pot. So if I was smart, I would use that money, go buy it as a gift. And guess what? The 25 grand is still an investment. And next month is going to generate another month of cash flow and another month of cash flow.
Yes. Let's compare what would happen if it was still just sitting as equity in your house.
It would sit as equity in my house. Yay.
Certainly not generate enough money for you to buy your wife a nice kettle thing.
Yeah, kettle thing. I love it. One of these days, my vocabulary will become impressive, but not there yet. But I think it's called a kettle. And I did write, it's a really fancy French name. So it's a really nice kettle. And boy, was I in trouble destroying it. It was missing the little whistleblower. And I got engrossed into whatever I was working on. And I'm troubleshooting on something. And so when I start a project, I just don't like leaving it until I solve it.
Sure.
And I didn't hear the whistle, and I'm working out of the home office and didn't hear that whistle go off. And I got done with the project, went in the kitchen, and hear something just super, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get killed. I grab this thing, turn on the water, and then first time I've ever had a steam burn in my life. That thing instantly went off, and I had the...
Ow.
That didn't work out too well. So I destroyed pot and then bubbly fingers right afterwards.
And upset wife.
And I was like, hey, I got second. I might have to go to the hospital. This is really gross and really painful. So she listens to my podcast. So I should probably be. But
yes, you should be.
All my, probably be a little more cautious. But the whole point is now with having this investment space in cash flow, which is so fun, is I just create $200 worth of income with obviously a very smart investment strategy that's created cash flow that I get to enjoy today and have a wealthier tomorrow. Right. How cool is that? And so I think that's the whole thing on the investment side, is that when you start looking at investment spaces and what's out there, great, an IRA, 401k, you've got your boss, your job that's matching what you put in. There can be a lot of value to that. I'm not saying don't do it. But if you look at just the feeling, I mean, what feels right in your gut? What feels better to you, Tam? Would you like to have 25 grand that's there and then 200 pouring in every month, as an example? Or would you just rather have that 25 tied up and you get to touch it when you're 60?
I like the part where I get 200 a month.
Yeah, it's just because you can use it for stuff today. You get to live and enjoy today, maybe a little bit more, and still have a wealthier tomorrow.
Right.
Now, so that's just the value of doing an investment for cash flow. I mean, and they all have their place, and accumulation is a good thing. You definitely want to have more money that you for down the road, because there is an important component to it. But cash flow can be really, really fun. And that is what I did with the cash out refi. Was, yes, it did come through, to answer that question. Yes, we got it done. Will I ever do it again? Probably not.
Not because of the results, but because of the pain.
Because the pain, it was just so difficult. It just was not fun for me, but it has its place. And it's also just a great example. I don't ask anyone to do, I don't ask one client to do anything that I don't do myself. Do as I do, not as I say. And, but people can really relate, you know, $200, that's nice. And then if that doesn't impress some people, that's fine. Add a zero to it. Same principle.
Right.
If 200 a month doesn't have an impact on you, what would 2,000 a month feel like as passive income?
Right.
Cash flow. Boy, that starts making some big differences. And it might start 1 month as $20 a month. And then a few years later, it just grows up to 200. But at some point in time, you get the principles and the systems in place. It just starts to escalate and compound itself.
Yeah.
And so now I still have my $25,000 in the investment, and I get to buy a really nice asset. I guess it's a kettle pot.
Yeah, I'm thinking so.
I should probably do that first. And, and by the way, anyone who's married listening to this, this is a really good strategy. My wife's my business partner. You know, she's my wife, she's my kid's mom, and she's my, you know, and she's my business partner, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, even though I know 99% of the time she's going to say yes, before I go buy anything over $100, I always ask her if I can go buy it.
It's a good policy.
I think so.
Yeah.
Now, it's a smart one. And so she's my business partner. I mean, especially in the state of Nevada, community property state, what's mine is hers and what's hers is mine. And so we're all responsible for each other's decisions. That's what a business partnership is. Then that's what you are on paper in a marriage. And so I just think that's a fun thing on why I want to dive into these investments. And so when it comes to investments, of course, you always have a risk. There's always a risk in investments. I just try to find, now I got to find a clever way to say it, because you can never say anything's bulletproof. You can never say anything is safe as an investment. There's all these rules of things you're not allowed to say. But I would ask the question, what does Wall Street promise you, Tammy? You put your money, invest in Wall Street. What does it promise you in that 50 pages or 100 pages of a prospectus?
A ride.
A prospectus. What's it promise you?
A ride.
A ride?
Yeah.
What do you mean by a ride? What does
like,
that mean?
Like a roller coaster ride, ups and downs and turns and twists.
Yes, it can go up and it can go down and it can go sideways.
Right.
And it is a timing thing, isn't it? I mean, historically, if you took today as a timestamp and you look at the inception of Wall Street, of the S&P 500, you use that as an index, it's been profitable. But what if you looked at it at a snapshot of you got in at year 2000 and you're planning to get out in 2009? That's not snapshot. That would probably, I'm not looking at a chart right now, but I do know that in March 2009, the S&P was at a low. And I think I might have mentioned one podcast, I wrote a blog on it, Erie, the S&P 500 got down to 666 before it rebounded. So I think that's an odd number.
It is. Disturbing number.
Isn't it? It's a little odd. So before it came back up, I mean, maybe literally you really have to get, you know, go to hell. You can't get to heaven without going through hell. Yeah. But that was probably that was just one roller coaster ride straight down, wasn't it? Probably,
yeah.
2000, 2009. And so it is a timing thing. And so depending upon your window, it could do really well, it could do bad. And what I like when it comes to investments and why I just specialize in investments off Wall Street is how you've got all these different things out there. You got hard money lending, you got what's known as bridge loans, you got merchant cash advances, you've got life settlements. I'm just throwing a few teasers out there. I mean, you could call cryptocurrency investment. I would love to get any cryptocurrency experts listening to this podcast. Please, I would love to bring you on as a guest. That would be a fun one, because I'm asked about my opinion on cryptocurrency all the time, and I'm not going to give it on this podcast. what my opinion is. But you got all these different investments out there, and just what feels better? You in regards to Wall Street, you go your promise and your prospectus, a roller coaster ride. Well, they promise that they don't promise anything, right? Right. You go to invest in Wall Street, they promise or they say that you could lose everything.
Right.
And if you look at what banks do on the investment side, by the way, how are we doing on time, Tim? We got a few more minutes?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're reining me in.
Yeah, you're good.
If you look at how banks like to lend, and I just think it's, again, I've talked about how successful they are on the spread. They're very successful. Mortgages are a pretty good deal, aren't they? If you were going to do an investment, Tammy, where if you knew for sure someone's going to pay you back, and you could do a 30-year mortgage and lend them, say, $250,000, and which wouldn't buy anything, the way house-wise in Reno right now, maybe like a I don't know what $250,000 Reno would buy right now, but say $250,000 you lend to someone on a 30-year mortgage, and they're going to pay you 5% interest per month for the next 30 years. Assuming you're in a first position lien on that property, and they have guaranteed to pay you back every single month, would that feel like a smarter, potentially safer investment than putting that $250,000 into Wall Street?
For sure.
I mean, you've got literally a private individual or a couple promising that, hey, we're giving you our word, and by the way, here's all our financials, and here's our house if we break our word. That would feel pretty safe, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So I like that strategy. And then auto loan wise, if someone's going to go buy a car, you know, like the banks, again, the joke is, and I try not to be redundant, but you start putting out all these podcasts, you forget what you say. One thing you'll hear is I'm very consistent, very consistent. But one joke I thought was hilarious is, if I asked this to you, Tammy, why do banks have drive-through windows?
I don't think so. Tell me.
So here's the joke. Why do they have drive-through windows?
Why?
So they can see their car every month. Right? I thought that is so true, isn't it?
Yes.
So people go out and they're getting these $100,000 loans so they can impress their neighbors. And that's not the only reason. I mean, I so enjoy cars. I love the engineering behind them. I love the design. I love the beauty of some of them. Some of these cars out there, gosh, they're ugly. But some of these other cars are gorgeous. And so it does make sense to get a loan for $100,000 to buy a car and pay it back over 5 years. But that's what the banks that do so brilliant is that, again, they're getting a private they're getting an individual to promise, sign their name, to pay back a loan over 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. Some of these deals, I mean, boat loans, I think, are over 15 years in these travel trailers. Pretty nice deal. It works for the banks. It's a contract saying, yeah, we agree to pay it back. And if we don't, guess what? The bank says we're going to take it.
Right.
So that's, I would say, if you're, I would argue a way safer way to invest, just doing what the banks do, than doing a buy and hold strategy on Wall Street for the next 40 years.
As much as I love the risk, when it comes to that kind of money, I would like a little bit more of a guarantee, a little bit more of, and something in my hand, something tangible, like the car or the house in my hand, as opposed to putting it into Wall Street.
Yeah. And guess what? And most people feel that way as well. I feel that way. You feel that way. I'd argue probably a lot of the listeners on this podcast feel that way. A lot of my clients feel that way. And it's pretty fun when you can get into investments where you have people promising to pay at this piece, and you got strategies in place where Wall Street's like, sure, they'll show you their average rates of return. But at the end of it, they promise nothing. They can't. Yeah. No one knows what Wall Street's going to do.
Right.
Oh, I'll talk about a comment that came in about having the ability to borrow from a 401k and doing that. And it's like, so if people listening to this, if you have 401ks, depending on how it's structured, quite typically, you can borrow up to 50% of the value in your 401k. And so that could be a really smart way to play the game. But then it's limited to 50,000. You got $500,000 in there. You can't borrow anymore. And so one of the statements I said, this was last week, was why do you think you can only borrow Tammy, why do you think you can only borrow 50% from a 401k?
Same thing, I'm assuming, because it's something that they own and they don't want to lose everything.
Well, the 50% is also because the market can take a huge correction. And so there's a buffer, right? And so there's rules in place that, you know, if you got up to 50,000, you know, in cash flow, you got 100,000 let you borrow up to half because the market can correct. And so they're trying to, in a way, also protect that person who's borrowing the money.
Sure.
I think that's it for today. Next one's going to be very, very specific. And so I just wanted to touch on, I thought a fun question. I just complained about it, but yes, it did go through. I did get the cash out refi and put 25 grand to use just on a non buy and hold investment strategy to create cash flow. And that number is actually a little bit more, but that's okay. The point is, $200 in cash flow, that's a pretty good feeling. And it's just a way that people might want to start focusing on. It's not an accumulation strategy, but what are ways that you can invest that have more, not that you can't lose, because you can, but have mechanisms in it that could create a lot higher probability of success. And how fun it would be to use that. Whereas if I just took money from that cash out refi, put it to something, then I can't get it to grow. Now I get a combination of both. Maintain that asset, allow that money to grow a little bit more, but then also use that cash flow to buy a kettle this month.
Yes. Before the racket, right?
Okay. Yes, before the racket. I got to make that one right. Why that popped up to me in my brain on this podcast is beyond me, but I was like, you know, I should probably go replace that kettle. Then I'll then we'll go see what else to get. So, does that sound good for this podcast today?
Yeah.
You think there's value?
Of course. Always.
All right.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This podcast is an absolute joy. I love the responses I'm getting, and I want everyone to keep getting value out of this. And please, if you got questions, shoot me an email, call me up, schedule some time, talk to me, whatever I can do to help. Explain how this brain works and how I can help you guys. But thank you. And my website, engineeroffinance.com, my office, engineeroffinance.com. And if that doesn't work, you can always pick up the phone and schedule a time and talk to me, 775-624-8839. And then Tammy, please do two things. Next time, I'm going to start breaking down different types of investments.
Okay.
We'll do a whole series on those.
All right.
Unless you come up with something that's really fun as well, or a listener comes up with something, we'll do something different. But for now, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to start breaking down the different type of investments that that can be fun for people outside Wall Street. Okay. I just want to focus on the feeling today. And it's fun. I like winning, and it's fun having $200 show up in cash flow.
Sure.
And still maintain that 25 grand. So thank you, mortgage company, for coming through at the end. And that's it, engineeringfinance.com. I got some fun blogs up there. Reach out to me if you want. You got questions. And then, Tammy, please do your awesome sign-off.
All right, sir. Well, everyone listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast, thank you so much for your time and loyalty. And if you can, please spread the word and let people know how Ken is different as a financial advisor to those friends and family that you have that are looking for more information on their finances to get more control. And thanks again, and we will see you next time right here on the Engineer of Finance podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.